Hello, and welcome to another episode of Dare to Think. In this episode, I'm going to talk about new things. Yes, it's weird to think about. I always start my episodes with the word weird. I've been thinking about that for a couple of days. It's like, why do I start with, today's a weird day? Apparently, every day is weird. There's something very stabilizing about the fact that we have routines. So, Peterson says this a lot, that if you get right your relationship with your partner, so if you and your partner talk and you say, honey, I want to come home on Thursdays and I want you to have dinner ready. And I know that you love the fact that if on Thursdays I wake up really early and make you breakfast, your day is like infinitely better. And you both agree on that, so that you make her breakfast on Wednesday, she makes you dinner on Thursday. And you promise that when you both get home from work, you don't stare at your phones, but you talk to each other. And you know that that will bring you peace. You know that that will guarantee that you have a good day, or at least that that part of your day is good. And let's say you get married when you're 24. How many years of happiness is that? How many Thursdays and Wednesdays of happiness is that? It's a lot of time. So if you get the you know, the monotonous things right in your life, it's crazy how easy it is to have a good life. If you choose the right partner, your life will probably be better than if you don't. If you educate your children properly, then they will probably turn out more likable than, like, you will probably like your children more than if they don't. And, you know, if you get your routine right, you will probably like yourself more than if you don't. But there's something to be said about the fact that it's something like the right and left, the way that I've heard it explained before by Peterson, which is a really good explanation of the right and the left, is that the right wing is conservative in the sense that it tries to maintain the hierarchy of value that we have at this moment. So if we value free market economies, they will try to make free market economies as, you know, as stable as possible, keep them in the loop, right? But then he also says that, but this applies to everything. This applies to every single pursuit of value. And then the left, what it takes care of is of changing that hierarchy of values. So they're opposing forces, but that they're aimed at the same thing. So if you are right wing and you want to maintain everything the same way that it is, you make, if it's a pyramid, you make it too steep. So you need the pyramid to be like this, not like this. So if it's like this, the society functions. If it's like this, too many people are suffering and only a couple of people are getting things at the top. The left wing, what it does is it changes the structure of society so that it goes back to this. What I'm trying to say is if you have a lot of order in your life, you need a little bit of chaos too. If you don't have a source of newness, you would get bored really quickly. That's, I think, the reason why Peterson wrote the two books that he did. Well, three, but the two books that he wrote in this case are, you know, Beyond Order and 12 Rules for Life and Antidote to Chaos. Chaos being the left, order being the right. So Beyond Order means what do you do when your life is ordered? And an Antidote to Chaos means how do you make your life predictable? After your life is predictable, you need some newness. And so today's episode is about liking new things, which sounds crazy because it's like, why wouldn't I like a new thing? And it's like, yeah, when was the last time you've seen your parents do something outside of their routine? Outside of the five things that they normally do that they like? It's incredibly difficult to get out of your routine when you think about it. Your routine is part of who you are. And again, I've said it, if you get your routine right, your life becomes great. But how do you keep adding to your life things that make it renewably good? So, most of this argument comes from something that most of us take for granted, which is the fact that if you do things right, the general knowledge is that everything will be fine and that you don't really need anything else. But that's complete, to put it in a funny way, poppycock. I remember that word today. Why? Because, again, you can become too conservative. And I will try to pose this in a new way. When you read a new book, how does it feel? When you choose a new book, you generally try to choose books under your area or whatever, or that are close to something that you actually like, right? And so my problem here is I had this experience the other day where I stopped reading fiction for a while, and I could only read like one type of fiction that I really liked, which was either classics, like real classics, like I don't know, Romeo and Juliet, or like The Cask of Amontillado, or you know, these kinds of books that are from like a historically recognized figure, or like really popular books about a subject that I really like for example Percy Jackson, Harry Potter, you know, those kinds of books that are fantasies, etc. But it had been a long time since I'd read just a fantasy book that I didn't really know much about, and my girlfriend and I went on a date where we chose each other's books. And she chose for me The Song of Achilles, which is a story, it's a retelling of the myth of Achilles from the perspective of Achilles' lover. And so it's like a Call Me By Your Name for Greece. And it's really weird in a really good way. And it captivated me a lot. And it made me think a lot about the stories that I read and the way that I've read them and the little box that I put myself into in terms of reading, where most of my books, and if you look at them around me, there are some fantasy books and some books about storytelling, but most of my books are academic books. Like, let's turn around for a minute. Why Nations Fail, amazing book. It's nonfiction. Enlightenment Now, Steven Pinker, Thinking Fast and Slow, nonfiction. Dostoevsky, Crime and Punishment, again, an incredible novel, but a novel that's made by a historically recognized figure. Carl Jung, the Complexes of the Unconscious. Again, nonfiction. If you go to this one is part of that date that I had with my girlfriend. Nonfiction, Leo Tolstoy, which is a historically recognized figure. And then you have this one, The Walker by Matthew Beaumont. Apparently, it's a really great essay. It's more than a story. It's an essay. And then you have the books that I've already read, and I'm going to read them for you because you probably can't see them. But I have Sophie's World by Justine Gardner. Amazing book. Fiction. It was a really different book, but it was about philosophy, a subject that I really love. Rick Riordan's The Last Olympian. Amazing. Jordan Peterson's Beyond Order. The Shortest History of War. Again, nonfiction. I loved it. John Green's The Anthropocene Review. That book is really different from what I normally read. And it was amazing, and it was an incredible read, and I've talked about it before in the podcast. And then La Casa de los Espíritus Isabel Allende, which is an amazing story. Again, I also love to read. The Latin American classics are a must for me. And in the bottom, Del Buen Salvaje el Buen Revolucionario de Carlos Rangel, an amazing book recommended to me by an author called Carlos Egaña, an amazing man. And Diego Áñez, who were both my mentors in MUN, a nonfiction book. And I realized while I was reading this new book, The Song of Achilles, that there is a lot that I haven't read and that I've closed myself off from reading because of this, you know, narrow window that I have. And it's because we defend our ideas like they are us. You know, I've heard it before put by Peterson that our ideas are like little people that we send out into the world to see if they get killed. Like mosquitoes, they reproduce like 1,000 to 1. Like one mosquito can have 1,000, and they are exact copies of themselves. And like, we're not swimming in mosquitoes, which means that most of them die. And that's exactly what we do when we think. O sea, cuando tú piensas, lo que estás haciendo es como que extrayendo y pensando en ti en una circunstancia y ver si esa circunstancia funciona. Y si no funciona, it goes away. You don't think about it anymore. That trial ended. And so when an idea survives, you defend it like you would be defending yourself. And that's it's useful in the sense that if your idea is truly powerful and it's truly it means something in the world. It's not say that it's the truth, but it's part of it. Then it will keep on fighting and winning until it becomes a fundamental truth. But most ideas that we have, again, like I said the other day, most things that pop into your head aren't thoughts. You have to think about the things that you think. Yeah, mouthful. But yeah, you have to think about the things that you think in order for them to be actual ideas. And so we defend our ideas, especially the ones that we believe are true to ourselves, very thoroughly. And then we become, you know, and we'll talk about this more in the next episode, we become a bit biased because, well, if you don't curate your ideas, you become biased. And so what I want to talk about specifically is that, how do we like new things? And I think that it has a lot to do with being grounded, which we talked about in the last episode. Being grounded is absolutely important. If you look back at your base, if you look back at who you were before, you can probably see that you liked things that you don't like right now. And it will probably be a comfort to you to find that those things are still there in the back of your head. I love Greek mythology, but I'd fallen away from it for a while, and reading this the Song of Achilles brought me back to that a lot. But it also made me explore a completely different realm of, you know, retold stories from a different perspective, which is something that I hadn't explored as much. And I think the same can be said of going to the gym. I now go to the gym, and it's something that I used to hate, and now I like. And it's part of this balance that we have to create in life between finding new things and then using and integrating them into your routine. I'm always trying to listen to a podcast, always reading a book. And I think that the best way that we can is learning, but learning in a way that consciously gets away from the things that you actually know. If you can educate yourself from both sides, if you can find, if you're, you know, if you're a left-wing person, you can educate yourself with authors that would be more towards the right wing, and vice versa. If you are a person that believes, for example, that sports is the only important thing in the world, then maybe you want to look into music. You know, I think that whenever we find ourselves too much in one path, we should find the opposite one and see that generally there's going to be something in there that we're going to like. I think in today's episode, I want to say thank you in specifically to one person, and that would be my girlfriend. I think the person who has made me grow the most, and I think this is telling of what a partner does for you, is opens up the world to you to a different perspective, a perspective that you're not necessarily knowledgeable of or fond of, but that if you give it enough of a chance, it becomes part of who you are. And I think, for example, she chose for me The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Mason, but Mark Manson, sorry, by Mark Manson. And she told me, like, look, you're a really good person. And so you can get stepped on sometimes. And I think that maybe you could, you know, get a little bit of not giving a fuck. And I think that that's awesome, you know. She just arrived. And I think that it's awesome that I have a person in my life who does that for me. Thank you very much. I will see you next week.